The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. Today, we move into a new section in our study of the book of Hebrews. Chapter 11 contains the Great Hall of Faith, with a list of all the great heroes of faith from the Old Testament. In today's sermon, we'll begin looking at an overview of what faith is and why it is important here and now. There are many characters that we will look at in this chapter, but remember that each one of them walked to a greater or lesser degree by faith in the coming Christ. Join us as we begin our exposition of these encouraging verses of the book of Hebrews.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. My Savior,
Tonight I want to spend just a little bit of time in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is the great hall of faith chapter. In this great hall of faith, we read about men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Enoch, and we'll see that as we get into this chapter, as we stay in the book of Hebrews, the Lord being our helper. But tonight I just want to do a little introduction to the hall of faith. Just a little intro, if you will. Maybe go into the foyer, if you want to call it that, of the hall, and let's talk about some things in regard to faith. Now, in the book of Hebrews, we've seen the heart of Hebrews already. The heart of Hebrews has been that everything on this side of the cross is better than it was on the other side of the cross. But what we're going to learn in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, is that faith was on the other side of the cross, and it's also on this side of the cross. And as a matter of fact, we're going to find out that faith, this little thing called faith, is the only way any human man, human woman has ever pleased God in any way. Now, before we go really any farther, we probably ought to lay the groundwork as to where faith comes from. Faith is not something that naturally occurs in our spirits, in our natural spirits. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says. And what I read about, and you can turn there if you want at some point, but you don't have to tonight, but I think you probably know Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 tells us that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It's part of that fruit of the Spirit. Well, if we don't receive the things of the Spirit of God in our natural man, then we cannot have faith in our natural man. I believe it's in 1 Thessalonians, I may be wrong, maybe 2 Thessalonians, Paul asked them to pray for him because he said, all men have not faith. They don't all have faith, okay? But yet we have to have faith in order to please God. I don't want to go too far afield on this because I may come back to it before the message is over, but even among our Reformed friends, our we might call Calvinist brethren, who would believe in the sovereignty of God when it comes to salvation, you'll still hear people talk about saving faith, and they talk about that in the sense of eternal salvation. Faith has never saved anybody eternally, but now it's saved many people in a timely way. Faith has saved me on a daily basis. By exercising faith, see, I can avoid the wrath and the anger that Brother Craig was preaching about. By exercising faith, I can avoid despair and I can have hope. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Faith is so important. So let's just begin looking in chapter 11 and verse 1 where we find the definition of faith. We aren't left hanging when it comes to faith. What is faith? Okay, we find it here. In chapter 11 and verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now I want you to notice what he says here. First of all, you know, people would accuse us of having this little fleeting, wishful kind of thinking. Faith is not just wishful thinking. Faith is substance. That word substance comes from a Greek word that means a foundation or a support. It literally means to stand under something. And the idea here is that this faith, it's the Greek word that our English word hypostasis comes from. A hypostasis is an essence or a principle or something that's essential to any equation, okay? Faith is essential to the Christian equation. It's essential to our lives. It's essential to our daily walk. And it is a substance. Notice, it is the substance of things hoped for. You know, a substance is something, not nothing, right? Substance is something, okay? And what it basically means is that it gives us an assurance of some things we are hoping for. So let's talk about hope for a moment, okay? Many people say, I've talked to in the last week or so, that maybe of a particular college football persuasion, they say, I sure hope we get the quarterback situation worked out where we can win the national championship again. Those might be Alabama fans that are saying that. You know, based on what I know at this point, after 2 weeks of football, I don't have much more than a wish that that's going to happen, okay? It's kind of a wispy, ephemeral thing that I'm not real confident about. But hope that we're talking about in the Scripture is not some kind of wispy wish that is just fleeting in our minds. The hope that we read about in Scripture is a confident expectation, okay? It is a confident, the idea that it's based upon something. We're going to come back to that in a moment, but understand that hope is a confident expectation that something is going to come to pass, and by the way, that something is a really good something. It's a really good something. It's the something that will remedy all ills of this life. Paul says in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he talks about that something very much. Let's just turn there just for a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says in the very first chapter, he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Well, gospel just means good news. Something good's coming here, which I preached unto you, which also you've received, wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. This gospel that we're talking about is it's the thing we must have faith in, you see. We must trust this in order to be saved. Now, is he talking about eternally? Well, let's just keep reading here and we'll see. By which also you are saved if, wait a minute, time out right there. As soon as you see if besides saved, you can know it's not eternal. Because there's no ifs in eternal salvation. God has taken care of that. So this must have something to do with here and now. We're going to come back to that in a moment. But notice he says, by which also you're saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And he goes on to tell us what that is and spends a whole chapter explaining to us that one day the Lord is going to end this world, and he's going to give us bodies that are perfect, and he's going to renew everything, and we're going to be with him forever. And see, our faith here is the substance of that thing we're hoping for. It's the underpinning, okay? Notice also, it is the evidence of things not seen. So faith is substance and faith is evidence. This word evidence there literally means a conviction. It is that by which something is proved or tested. Now, I'm a lawyer by trade, a judge now, and we're always searching the record on appeal to make sure if they raise the issue of the sufficiency of the evidence, to make sure there was evidence there in that trial to support the conviction. Well, I want to say to you, beloved, that there is evidence in the trials of life to support the conviction that we have that our eternity is secure. He said, and what this really just means is being certain of things that we cannot see. Now, that's important. Remember, he says, it's the evidence of things not seen. Things is, again, something. That word things there is interesting. I went and did a little word search on it from the Greek that it's translated from. And that word things there has to do with that which has been done or something that has been accomplished. And what he's saying here is this faith we have is the evidence of something that has been accomplished on our behalf. You see, biblical faith does not focus upon fantasies. Biblical faith is rooted in the truth, the facts of God's word, the fact of the things that have been accomplished by Christ. Our evidence is not of some wispy wish. You know, the Buddhists, I think it was, maybe it was the Hindus that believed in, you know, the world was created by some giant turtle, you know, then it's carried on the universe is carried on the back of the turtle. That sounds like fantasy to me. But what I read about in the Word of God is that there was a man, a God, who became man, who came down here and lived and walked in this life. And as a matter of fact, there's historical records that Jesus Christ existed. We don't have to have that. We have faith in what the Scripture says. But there are historical records outside the Bible that prove he was here, and that we believe he was very God and yet very man, and he accomplished something on our behalf. The evidence of things that we have not seen, they are unseen, and yet our faith is built upon the fact of their accomplishment. Our faith is an unseen and yet a certain faith. And you know, it's not built upon the uncertainty of things I've done. My faith is not built upon the weakness of my flesh and the choices I've made. I know many people who have faith that is premised upon something they've done, a choice they've made, a life they've lived. And I want to say to you, beloved, that is a weak faith. That is, but see, we don't have faith in our faith. You know, some people say, well, I just believe I exercise my faith. It's saving faith eternally. I exercised it. But listen, I don't have faith in my faith. I don't believe in my believing. Because I want to tell you, if I had faith in my faith and only had belief in my believing, there would be many times every single day when I wouldn't have anything to cling to. When that guy cuts me off in traffic, and I react in a way that proves to all those who might be watching at that time that I am not a child of God. When something happens that, you know, at home, something doesn't work right. When I'm reacting to something in anger, I am proving to everybody else, including myself, I'm really not a child of God. That's the evidence I see when I'm relying on me. But see, that's not the evidence that we're talking about when it comes to faith. Faith is relying not upon our faith, because that will fail. Faith relies upon what Christ did. It relies really and truly on the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't rely upon my own faithfulness. Praise God. I think we all can agree with that, because my own faithfulness fails so regularly that I often just am ashamed of how I am. Which brings me to my next point, which is really so important. Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. And faith is now. Did you hear that when we read it? Now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you go back up two verses, in verse 38 of the previous chapter, it says, now the just shall live by faith. You know what that tells me? That tells me that faith is important now. Faith is not going to be necessary. It's not going to be important. It's not going to be even in existence in eternity. Faith is something for us here and now. It's here that we must exercise our faith. And listen, there's a reason they call it exercise, because it's not easy. You know, I know we kid a lot about the fact that Mason and I own this gym down in Gordo, and Mason clearly is a gym owner. I don't look so much like a gym owner, but I always tell everybody there has to be a before picture. You know, he's the after picture. I'm the before picture. It's a marketing ploy, Brother Craig. That's all it is. That's the only reason I stay like this. But exercise is not easy, right? Exercise is hard. Exercise doesn't just happen, you know. We're not born with bodies like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He had to work out to get there. He had to stay fit, you know. At one point, Mason was this wormy little kid, you know. Now he's built up because he's worked hard and he's exercised his muscles. Beloved, we have to exercise our faith here and now. But one day, we're not going to have faith because we're not going to need faith. One day, our faith will be sight. Look back over in Romans chapter 8 just for a moment. This is one of the sweetest passages I read about in Scripture. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 22, says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." If you don't believe that we live in a sin-cursed world, your eyes are closed, my friends. You don't just have to look out there and see what they're doing, what everybody else is experiencing, you can internalize it. You can feel it. You can experience. Because I tell you, beloved, my days aren't full of ease and luxury. My days aren't full of sinlessness and joy. My days are filled with a battle every day. It seems like I'm fighting something. Most of the time it's me that I'm fighting. Most of the times I'm fighting myself. And the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together till now. He's just talked about the creature. What is a creature? It's something that's created, right? He's talking about that new creature within us, and not just that new creature within us, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Right now, I would pray that the Lord will come back. Before I finish this sentence, I wish he would come back and redeem my body, complete the adoption that he began before the foundation of the world, that he secured on Calvary, and that one day he will complete when he takes us home. But in the meantime, before he comes back, I got to have something that will get me through till that day. And notice what he says, for we are saved by hope. Hope. What's faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's a place over in 2 Corinthians where Paul talks about his light affliction. Light affliction. You read about his afflictions. Beaten, I believe it was 4 times, shipwrecked twice. Left for dead, constantly on the run from the authorities, continually being persecuted, even sometimes among his own people. But it's light affliction. It's just light. Paul, how can you say that? I'm a baby when it comes to pain. I don't like things not going right in my life. I struggle. If people were after me, I'd be ready to give up, you know? He says, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know how he could bear it? You know how he can make it? He can make it by keeping his eyes vertically focused instead of horizontally focused. He could keep it. He could make it through until that resurrection day, till that time when he's taken from this life into the presence of Christ by keeping his eyes on Christ, just like Peter walking on the water. As long as he was on the water, as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he could walk on top of the water, you see. Because see, that's another point I want to make tonight. That faith is hard. Faith is hard. Now, don't ever miss that point, that it's not easy. It doesn't come naturally to exercise our faith. Paul said over in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now, how can he always be confident? Verse 7, a little parenthetical, he says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, here's the point now. If you can see it, it's not faith. If you can see it, it's sight. Now, I'm the world's worst at that. I could stand here and testify to you about things in my own life where, you know, I'm okay, Lord, if you'll just show me, you know, 4 or 5 steps down the road. You know, I'm okay if you'll just give me, you know, I certainly want to see the destination, but I also really need not just the next step on the road of faith. I need at least 4 or 5 or 6, maybe 10, if you'll just go ahead and tell me what the next steps are. But walking by faith doesn't work like that. If you can see it, it's not faith. It's taking one step at a time, one step in the light that you have, then taking the next step in the light he gives you then. And the Lord's promises are that he will be with us each step of the way. You know, those Hebrew soldiers standing on the side of the Valley of Elah up there didn't have much faith. There was a Goliath in the valley. They weren't about to go down in the valley. There was a Goliath down there. You ever had a valley that there was a Goliath in? You ever been in the valley with a Goliath? I have. I have. I know some of you have. You know, there's a little shepherd boy that didn't have any training. He didn't have any training in war. He didn't have any soldier's arms. He didn't have any armor. All these others, they were trembling in their boots. You could almost hear the armor shaking, I'm sure, up there when the Goliath would come out. And David said, I'll go. David, you can't go. How in the world could you possibly face a man like this? He said, because my God has been with me, and he's going to still be with me. He was with me when the bear came. He was with me when the lion came. He'll be with me against this giant. You know, I've preached that before about David and Goliath. And I titled the sermon, I think, one time when I preached on it, When the Giant Met Goliath. Because you see, what you saw there by the seeing of your eyes was a little shepherd boy. But what you had there by the eye of faith was a giant. A spiritual giant. And, you know, I know there were men on that hillside looking out down there. They said, oh, my goodness, look at that little boy. He hadn't got a chance. When the truth of the matter was, Goliath didn't have a chance. Goliath's doom was pronounced from the time David arrived on the hillside right there. He just didn't know it, and it sure didn't look like it. But faith is hard. Faith is not something that comes naturally. But it is so important. Notice as we'll try to wrap this up, but notice what it says here, but going back to Hebrews 11, he says, for by it, verse 2, the elders obtained a good report. You go back to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 6, you'll read that the things in the Old Testament were our examples. And the idea was that it was teaching us something over there. Now, certainly it was pointing us to Christ, but it also there, he says, they were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. And remember, the Old Testament stories aren't just made-up stories. They're real events. And those stories were our examples, but the people in those stories were also our examples. And I want you to notice that nowhere do you find in the Old Testament scriptures when God commends somebody in the Old Testament, he doesn't commend their perfect character, because we don't find any perfect characters in the Old Testament. But what he does commend is their mighty faith. Abraham, who was called the father of the faithful, he fell down in his faith so many times. He lied two different times about his wife being his sister, and almost caused her to be found in all kinds of sin, and almost caused trouble for all kinds of people down there. And yet he was the father of the faithful, because ultimately he was not a perfect man, but ultimately he was a faithful man. His faith set him apart. And by it, he, quote, obtained a good report, end quote. The Greek word there is martyrio, which means just to be a witness. We hear a lot about witnessing today, right? And we ought to be witnessing. We ought to be good witnesses. You know how to be a good witness? Is to be faithful. To be faithful. And verse 3, notice it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now that brings us to the first step, I guess you'd say, the first plaque in the Hall of Faith. It's the understanding and the belief that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, by Christ, by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In other words, we believe in the creation, not some kind of evolution. It all starts with creation, beloved. I'll be quite honest with you. You know, the Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. If you can't get past that one, you're going to have trouble with all the rest of them. Okay? But if you can believe this, if you can believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, then you can believe anything else the Bible sets out. If God can create this universe, why can't he suspend the laws of gravity and have an axe head to float? If God created this universe, why can't he cause a blind man to see? Why can't he cause the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear? Why can't we believe that he raised a man named Lazarus from the dead, suspending the laws of nature? Because he created the laws of nature. Oh, beloved, If he's so powerful and mighty that he created this whole universe, then why can't we believe that he came down here and redeemed it by his death, burial, and resurrection? Why can't we trust that he accomplished that for each and every one of his children on the cross? We're going to go on and read at some point as we get through here that in verse 6, for example, that without faith it's impossible to please him. There's no way to please God without having faith. And remember, we're not speaking of the faith, some kind of faith that saves us for eternity. We're speaking of faith that has been given to us because we are saved for eternity. And not everyone necessarily exercises that faith like they ought to. But beloved, if we would please God, we must exercise that faith. We must trust him. We must believe that he is, as he tells us, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. They're not seeking him in order to get him to reward them, you see. They're already children of God. But when you find yourself in the position of seeking him, why would we seek him if we didn't believe that? Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. May we learn more and more to exercise the faith that God has given us in the new birth.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.